you lost a survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Hello and welcome back to the Why Blank Lost podcast. I'm David Bloomberg, and joining me as always is my co-host, a woman whose decision to draw rocks has not haunted her forever, but has provided fodder for jokes forever, Jessica Lewis.
Hello, David Bloomberg. And yes, we are back. I'm very excited. And yes, it does haunt me just a little bit. So perhaps my rock will show up on Ghost Island. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, well, especially since you just dropped it on the ground.
I know. I feel like it could be like a really fun surprise that all of a sudden, like, there's the Black Rock. But I'm doubtful. I'm definitely doubtful.
Also, if you recall, I did explain in my Why Jessica Lost podcast at the time why you did what you needed to do. So I wouldn't call it a drastic mistake.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. It wasn't a bad decision to go to rocks necessarily. I just picked the wrong rock. So
yes, that was your bad decision, was picking that rock.
Yes, that was the bad decision.
So for any newcomers to this podcast, welcome. And for any who have listened before, welcome back. To make the former group feel at home, let me give a quick summary and history of the podcast. Once the season begins, we will be back every week to discuss what each player did right and wrong in terms of rules I originally established back after the very first Survivor season and have been updating ever since. Discussions about how each player did in the game used to appear in my columns on the Reality News Online website, which I created and ran for a long time, but which I had to close down several years back. But the column was reborn as a podcast with Rob Cesternino and me a couple years ago, and then we switched things up to bring Jessica on board last season.
Yay!
Yay! So, so that's the history in a nutshell. But listeners may be wondering why we're talking now when the season hasn't even started yet. Well, it's a preview show. But we're not going to just be the usual preview show because, well, we're just not usual.
Exactly.
We'll talk a bit about the players. But we want to focus on how we think they will do with some of the rules. And, you know, we'll also talk about a few little tweaks to those rules as well at the end. And we, of course, will have Jessica's favorite part, the predictions.
Damn it. That is not my favorite part. I'm now, so bad at it.
Well, before we get to that, keen-eared return listeners might have noticed a change in our theme song from last season. Since Jessica was renewed, not that there was ever a doubt of that in my mind.
Thank you.
I thought it was only right to make sure the theme song reflected that. And singer-songwriter Will from America was happy to oblige. So thank you, Will.
Thank you, Will. I thought it was fabulous. When I heard the song for the first time, I then proceeded to play it to all of the members of my family, and we danced around the living room. So it was really fun. Thank you.
Should have recorded that for Twitter.
I know I should have, right? It was quite, it's a catchy little tune, and now my name's in it, so that's even better. Thanks.
Sure. And also, we are recording just days before Jessica's birthday.
That's true.
And I thought it would be much better for Will to sing her name in the theme song than for me to sing the birthday song and cause ear trauma for all the listeners.
Come on, you're going to back out? Ugh, I'm so disappointed. I've been waiting for this moment. Will he sing happy birthday to me on the podcast?
No, my present to the listeners is I am not singing.
Oh, sigh. Well, at least I did get my name in the theme song.
That's right. I'll take it.
But you, one of these days, I'm going to make you sing to me. It's going to happen. Just be ready.
Well, it's the listeners who have to be ready.
Okay. Be ready, listeners. We're going to make it happen. I'm going to start tweet at David that you want him to sing.
No, don't do that. With all the preliminaries done now, I think it's time to start talking, not singing, talking about the Ghost Island contestants.
Yes.
But before we do that, I do think we should mention one more thing just so there aren't any questions. Because, Jessica, some people who follow you on Twitter may have noticed that you've posted some photos of you and contestants from this season.
Yes.
So I figure it's best that we just put it right out there that, yes, you did meet a number of them at a charity event. But, and this is a very important but, you are not spoiled.
Exactly. And I did that on purpose. It was fantastic to meet these individuals, and it was really quite fun. And of course, I want to take a picture because why the hell not? I mean, that's
what you do.
Right. That's when you meet survivors, you take pictures with survivors because you're all kind of this neat little group. And it's great to have those memories and to post those things on various social media sites. But I specifically said to them, I do not want to know anything. Even though I wanted to ask them so many questions and I wanted to find out so many details. But at the same time, I said no, because it's unfair. I don't want to know things that I shouldn't know. And they were very respectful of that and did not give me information. So I can promise you, when I make my predictions, it's based on nothing other than me not knowing what I'm doing. So don't worry about it.
All right. All right. Now that we have that out of the way, let's take a look at the Naviti tribe. We'll go in alphabetical order by first name, which also means we start with the oldest player this season, which really isn't saying much in this group.
Exactly.
So Angela Perkins is a 42-year-old Army veteran who comes into the game knowing what real war is like. And if I were heading into battle, I'd want her to be my captain.
That's a good point.
I'm just not sure if that will serve her on Survivor. And I say that in large part because all but one person who knows her in real life warned her before she left that she was going to be too much of a threat. And I think that after all her time in the Army, plus being a mom, plus being the oldest player, being a leader will just come naturally to her. And being a leader on Survivor often ends up giving you a short time in the game. So I'm afraid that Rule 6 will be problematic for her.
I agree. And the one thing I thought was really quite striking in regards to her family was that not only did they tell her she needed to rein it in, they also told her she was probably going to be the first one voted out, which
yeah,
I think if your own family is telling you that, that kind of speaks volumes about how you present yourself to others. And it wasn't based on her inability to play the game. It was solely based on her forcefulness and the way she presents herself. So that I thought was really quite striking. But I also found it fascinating because I read a lot about her before I actually heard her speak. And when I was reading the words that she was saying, I was taken aback. They sounded very aggressive. It sounded very strong. She sounded like a very dominant force to be reckoned with. And someone who I think could come across kind of brash and demeaning, just reading the words. But then when I heard her actual voice, she has a lovely voice and she sounds like sweet and kind and not militaristic whatsoever. So it was really kind of this strange moment for me, like reading her words and then hearing her speak. It was strange.
Yeah. And that's, that's why people can have difficulty communicating in email sometimes, you know, if you have that sort of presentation in an email, they can't hear your inflection in a speech, for example. So anyway, with everything I just said and you just said about Rule 6 and being a threat, I do like Angela's attitude when it comes to morality in Survivor. She told Josh Wigler for his first One Out series and articles in The Hollywood Reporter, "Survivor is definitely just a game." And she continued, "I'm coming into this game knowing I'm going to be lied to. And guess what? You better bet your ass I'm going to lie if it takes me to the next move. It doesn't change me ethically or morally." I love that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, almost all the contestants are taking that same correct attitude about this being a game, which is great and gives me a lot of hope for this season.
Can I tell you how much that was blowing my mind when I was listening to all of these interviews? How I wish that had been the way that I could have played this game and walked into it with this kind of perception or this belief that it doesn't matter what I do. This is the game. It's completely separate from real life. That is not what I walked in with, because I think at the time, even though it was only a few seasons ago, people were very worried about how you appear on TV and how that affects you in real life and how people make decisions about you. So I love that as well. There are so many that are walking in with that kind of idea. And I think that's so much better for gameplay.
Yeah. Now we'll see what actually happens when they get into the game, because you know, you're going to hear when I get to the rules, I'm going to single one contestant out from last season who came in saying the same thing and definitely didn't act that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, so it's good to see going in. We'll see what happens when they get there. That's when it will be fun.
Well, and I think that that's the moment when you start to realize, wait, there's a camera on me 24/7 and everything I say is being recorded. And I don't know if people will really be able to hold on to that idea, because it does really have an impact on you when you really step back and look at the situation and realize every single thing I'm doing is recorded and could be taken out of context. So it might have an effect on that idea walking into the game that you can't really be that way, but who knows?
Yeah. And the other thing is, of course, that, you know, it's not so much how you will be seen on TV, but rather you're there 24/7 with these people. And even if you say, I'm not here to make friends, which a number of them said, sometimes you become friends, and sometimes you become like a mom or you become like a sibling. And it's easy to sit here on the couch like I'm doing right now and saying, backstab your mother figure.
Right.
But it's more difficult to do that when you're out there.
Absolutely. And that's what I feel like a lot of these interviews, people have these perfect ideas of how their game is going to play out. But I think that, well, we're obviously going to be talking about Desiree, but she had a great idea when it came to, you can't walk into this game with a set idea in your head of how you're going to play the game, because you don't know what's going to get thrown at you. And so, yeah, there's this concept that you know what you want to do, but you really have no idea what you will be able to do once the game starts.
Right. Now, to finish up with Angela, at least my thoughts on her, the only problem I see with her having this attitude of I'm going to do whatever it takes, I'll lie to you, whatever, is that a lot of the other players pegged her as the mom from the get-go. And we know that players often don't react well when they realize that the mom has been lying to them. So we'll see how they react. Whatever happens, though, they have her pegged as the mom, and she's going to come in as the army captain mom.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be surprised when they meet the full Angela.
Yeah. And I think Angela is going to struggle with that realization when people start to see her differently than they had perceived her, because I don't know how much she's going to be able to rein that part of her in. She's obviously very proud, and she should be. She's a badass and has done some really incredibly impressive things. But sometimes in Survivor, it's better to step back and let someone else be the leader. I don't know if she's going to be able to do that. And the other problem that I think is going to be a really big issue for her is her description of her perfect day, basically how she would start the game. And she talked a lot about females and how she doesn't necessarily jive with females because of the military, and that there's not as many females, and she's usually in higher stature than they are in the military, and so she's in charge of those few females as well. She says she's a man's kind of lady. So I think that there might be an issue there with her just not jiving with the females that are on her tribe. And that could definitely hurt her.
Yeah, definitely. All right, moving on. We have Bradley, whose last name I'm not even going to attempt because I have no idea how to pronounce that. Do you?
I'm trying to remember what Wiggler did. I think he butchered it too and then apologized.
Yes, so we'll just say Bradley, who is a 26-year-old law student, and he told Josh that law school helps a lot with Survivor because it's mostly a degree in bullshitting people and picking them apart. So,
right.
Ms. Attorney, what do you have to say about that?
Listen, if that's your idea of what a law degree is going to allow you to do or what it is, then perhaps he should what was it, biography or geography, that he was thinking about becoming a geography teacher. Maybe that would be a better thing for him to move into. I get it. I understand. There's and that's why he's not telling people that he's a law student, because there is that preconceived notion of that's what lawyers do. They bullshit you. It doesn't help when that's what people who are going to law school say, too. You know, come on. Like, let's fix that narrative. Let's not say things like that anymore. But I did take note of that particular description. But I understand why he's leaving it out, that he's not telling people he's in law school. I think that's a smart idea.
Yeah. You know, I work with a number of lawyers, and they tell me that I'm definitely the best BSer. So
see,
and I didn't even have to go to law school for that.
Exactly. Exactly.
So anyway, I like what Bradley told Josh about his dream day one, where he said he wants to have a conversation with everybody and try to figure out what about them is different and interesting, so he can latch on to something, because he knows that even if he's not working with someone, it's important to not cast them aside, especially at the beginning. And the reason I like this is twofold. One, because many of the players talked about wanting to find an idol, wanting to find an advantage, whatever. He, on the other hand, is focused on making good base relationships. And the second reason is, well, it's basically following rule one and starting his scheming right from the get-go, while also following rule five and pretending to be nice.
Yes, and he better do well with the pretending component, though, because he does say that he doesn't like to spend time around people who he thinks are stupid. And I'm not saying anybody on the cast is stupid, but he clearly believes he's of higher intelligence, and I'm sure he probably is. It sounds like he's a pretty dynamic guy. But if you have any notion or belief that someone is stupid, in Bradley's mind, it would be best for Bradley to pretend that he doesn't feel that way, because I feel like Bradley might have a hard time doing that.
Yeah, so that's another thing he and I have in common. I don't like being around stupid people either, so.
Well, you know, just when you play Survivor, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
Now, what's funny is, you know, that speaking of stupid, or rather the opposite of stupid, one thing that I think he needs to watch out for is that several others have already pegged him as the intelligent super fan. Mm-hmm. So he has to make sure his early socializing is not seen as early over strategizing. But if he can avoid that pitfall, I think he has a good chance to go far.
Yeah. And I think that there did seem to be this idea that people liked him as well, but they did believe that he was smart. There were quite a few people who said that they would like to potentially work with him. I did love what Sebastian said about him too, though, that Sebastian said, the ones you're watching out for are the ones that aren't generally going to win. It's the ones behind your back. He might have a chance at winning this game. So even Sebastian is already kind of picking up on that. If he falls into the shadows, that might be part of his gameplay. So I thought that was an interesting read.
Yeah, I agree. So that's all I have on Bradley. Did you have anything else?
I think that I have rule five. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. He'll be interesting to see the relationships develop, I think, between he and the individuals on his tribe. I think there's a lot of very headstrong males on that tribe. So that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Now, the next one we're going to discuss is not a headstrong male. It is Chelsea Townsend, a 24-year-old EMT and professional cheerleader, which is an interesting combination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a super fan who would discuss strategy with her family during commercials. And, you know, obviously, I definitely like that aspect of her. But it worries me that at least two of her tribe mates already have negative opinions about her in the pregame, basically presuming she's going to violate the second rule. Because Desiree told Josh, she can't even hide the fact that she's going to stab you in the back. She can't even hide it. She's here to get her hands dirty and get blood on her hands. I can just tell. I can see it in her eyes. I'm a good reader of people. And Chris said, she has a quietness to her, but definitely possibly a dark side. I could see her flipping back and forth, backstabbing people without anyone even knowing. She's definitely potentially dangerous, but I wouldn't be surprised if she's potentially the first one voted out because she doesn't click with anybody. Now, I have to be honest. I don't know how you get a read like that on someone. I mean, Desiree was certain. She's here to get blood on her hands.
I feel like Desiree thinks everybody is like that, though.
Well, okay, that could be, but and most of them are. But it's right. Just like, wow. You know, but whether or not it's true, having two people on your tribe going in before you've said a word to them with those thoughts could mm-hmm. be very dangerous if she can't change their minds quickly.
Well, Sebastian even said she looks evil. But not evil in a bad way. So maybe that could work to her advantage as well. But yeah, I do think that she's probably going to struggle, even though there were a couple of people that did say that they would be interested in working with her. But at the same time, a lot of people said she's tiny, she's petite, so she doesn't seem like she's a physical threat or anything. And if they think there's this dark side to her, it might be a difficult hurdle for her to overcome. Also, a lot of people said they had a hard time kind of figuring her out. Like they couldn't really read her that well. So I don't know. It'll be an interesting, I don't really know. I mean, honestly, like I don't know where she's going to end up. I'm concerned for her.
Yeah,
just based on the initial read that people had of her. Her answers are kind of generic about why she's playing Survivor and why she's here, even though, yeah, she's a super fan. So I'm not really sure if she's going to be able to fully appreciate everything that's going on, and it might negatively affect her in the game.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking, she's hard to get a read on. Well, how many times do you meet an EMT and cheerleader all in one package? But the other thing is, maybe that's what Desiree sees, getting blood on her hand. I mean, she is an EMT. She has literally had blood on her hand.
There you go. And it is a very interesting mix, because when you hear her talk, she's very bubbly. She's very outgoing. And that might even affect people's thoughts. The same way Angela is going to have that same issue. People kind of pegged her as a mom, and she's really super military. Whereas Chelsea has kind of been pegged almost as like this dark individual who might have an evil side to her. And then when you listen to her speak, she's very outgoing and bubbly and energetic. And so it's a very strange mix. And then if they find out she's a cheerleader, it might really mess them up. I don't know what she's going to actually say she does. Did she talk about that?
I don't remember. If I were her, I would say I'm a cheerleader.
Yeah, because that'll fit her personality. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's one thing that happens when you can't talk to people. You have this all in your head, and then they talk for the first time, and you're like, oh, hey, yeah, that is not what I expected.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But, you know, I think if she can make it past the first few days and convince people she's not going to backstab them, then I think she has a good shot at, well, backstabbing them when it's necessary. And, we'll just have to see how it goes for her.
Right. I mean, she did say that she's a very loyal person, so perhaps that'll be her best way to play the game.
Yeah, could be. All right. Next up, Chris Noble is a 27-year-old model who also isn't exactly getting a lot of positive feelings in the preseason, as many of the other players talk to Josh about his apparent self-confidence/arrogance.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, four of them, now that's just four on his tribe, I believe, made specific comments about this to Josh, saying that Chris loves himself, he's super cocky, they don't expect to work with him, he's arrogant, etc. And that's a terrible way to start the game.
Yeah.
He's going to need to hope Naviti wins the first challenge, or he shows his worth right away.
Well, and here's the biggest problem I see for him, is that everyone's read of him is very similar in that regard, that he's kind of arrogant and cocky. His idea of himself is not that, which is very interesting to me, that he obviously thinks very highly of himself, which is great. You know, that's wonderful that you love yourself. But he doesn't see that as being a flaw and being an issue playing this game. He feels like it's going to be good for him. Like he talks about bringing lotion and giving girls massages because they're going to want to work with him because he's so good looking. I don't think that's a good idea. You know, I mean, perhaps you should have considered a different way to play the game. I think that that's going to be part of his downfall, is that he doesn't even have a good sense of self.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. The people who said he stops at the mirror, he stares at himself there. I don't know what he's going to do without a mirror. You know, he's going to be having to stare into the ocean or something.
Yeah, I don't know. He'll be following around production who are wearing sunglasses and hoping he can catch a view of himself. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Now, I mean, besides what we've talked about, I don't have a good feeling for whether or not Chris will be following the rules. It's clear he immediately needs to improve his social game. But beyond that, I have no idea if he'll be a good schemer.
I don't know. Most of my notes, to be completely honest with you, are WTF. Like, I swear, I'm not even joking. Like, I would keep reading. I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, he talked about wanting to make out with one of the other people that he's named her Mrs. Smith. And I was like, what is happening right now? So, yeah, we'll see, I guess.
I guess that, you know, multiple days without being able to talk to another human starts to affect different people differently.
Maybe it does.
So, all right, moving on to Desiree. We've already talked about her, you know, her comments about several other players. And once again, I am not going to attempt to pronounce her last name because I don't want to butcher it.
There you go.
But she is a 21-year-old student, which means she's about the same age as my older son. Getting old. You know, most of her tribe mates seem to like her in the pregame, and the word cool was thrown around a lot to describe her.
Oh, my word, yes.
What do you think of her?
I think she has a fascinating read on people. I loved a lot of her comments, even though she really does think most... I should say this. She recognizes that she's playing a game and that all of these people are here to play a game. And so she spends more time, I think, finding negative attributes in people than positive ones, in order to prepare for it. I thought it was great. Like, a lot of the comments that she made about people, I really enjoyed, because she seems a little more below the surface. And like you said before, I don't know how she's necessarily getting these reads, but maybe she's just someone who's really good at reading a room, at reading people, at what they're doing and how they're carrying themselves. And at the same time, not appearing as if she's sizing anybody up. Because a lot of them did say she's cool, she seems nice. Like, there wasn't anybody who got a she's an evil genius read or anything off of her. So I thought it's a good balance. If she's able to really look at people and figure out something about them that she needs to be wary of, but hide that she's doing it, that's good for her.
Yeah, I agree. And I also agree, you know, you said at the beginning there that you know, she knows she's here to play a game. And I like her attitude when it comes to the first rule, because she told Josh, I feel like if you're coming into Survivor with lines, you're on the wrong show. People who are honorable, you look at Wu went all the way to the end with Tony, who had no lines, and Tony beat him. Mm-hmm. And he chose Tony being honorable. It's all about the game you're playing. A lot of these people are actually really nice people when you meet them. But on Survivor, I can't be nice. I can't afford to. And so if she holds to that, you know, a little better than the person with a similar name did last season, then she has the potential to do very well.
Mm-hmm. No, I think she will. She is going to have to definitely make sure she reins in her. I think she could have a strong personality. One of her pet peeves, she said, was complaining. And that often happens in Survivor. So as long as she's, I know, right? Can you imagine? But I think she should, she says she's prepared, and I hope that she's prepared herself for that. But if she's recognizing that in other people, I'm sure she's recognized it in herself too.
Yeah, well, hopefully. All right. Next up is Dominic. And once again, don't know how to pronounce that name. Could be Abate, could be Abate. I'm just going to go with Dominic. So
there you go.
And I could have been wrong on both attempts, by the way. He is a 38-year-old who, it seems, intends to play like Tony, except he's not a cop pretending to be a construction worker. He really is a construction worker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if anyone can ever play the Tony game again and win, because if people realize you're playing the Tony game, they're going to vote you out.
And a lot of people compared him to Tony already.
Right. And I mean, so I like the thought, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, first off, if anyone out there listening can tell me who the actor is that he sounds exactly like, please tell me, because it's driving me insane. I have been trying to figure out. I can see the guy's face in my head. Obviously, I can't really help you get into my head, but he sounds just like someone on TV, and it's someone who usually plays a villain. So if anyone can figure it out, let me know. But as far as Dominic is concerned, I think that he's got a couple of really great things working for him. I love that his father is his inspiration. He seems like a really, like he's a family guy, which I think helps you play a different kind of game when you're out there because you've got bigger stakes, really. But I also love, love, love that he's willing to exploit people for various reasons. Like, I thought it was great that he pointed that out, that yes, he can respect people's faith, and yes, he can respect honor and integrity, but he's going to exploit it if he finds out that that's what you're actually presenting of yourself. And I thought that was fantastic. So he could, I think he's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. And I noticed the exact same things and immediately flagged it as, oh, he's going to do well with the first rule. Now, the one part that worries me is that he also said he will flirt with as much disaster as he can.
Yeah.
And, you know, that brings me back to the Tony style of play. So I could easily see him leaving because of rule two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's true. He could push it too far. And I have to talk about his bamboo phone for just a second, okay? Because it's really quite creative. However, I don't think it's going to work because the bamboo is a dime a dozen out there and every piece of it is collected and put into the shelter. So I don't know how he's going to manage to hide a 25-foot piece of bamboo in the bushes that no one's going to be like, hey, I found another piece of bamboo. Let's go put this on the shelter. So just saying, it might not work out, but it's a great idea.
Yeah, I agree. So, we'll see how it works. But I agree it's a great idea, it's a fun idea. Let me go with that. So.
Yes, it is. It's definitely a fun idea. But he is certainly going to need to work on the vibes that he's giving off because a lot of people mention Russell Hantz. They mention Tony. He makes people nervous. He's a hustler. So I think there's a lot of notions already being determined about him. He's dangerous. That was another one. I mean, very strong adjectives to describe him. Strategic. So he's someone that I think people will be watching out for.
Okay. All right. Next up is Kellen Bechtold, who is a 31-year-old career counselor. And we already discussed how you met some of the players at an event. I actually had the chance to meet her at RapCon 2016.
Excellent.
I say I had the chance, which is true, but I didn't actually meet her. I just had the chance to. We apparently our paths never crossed. She posted a picture on Twitter of her with Rob at the bar where I was, and I didn't know who she was at the time. It was my first RHAP event, and there were a lot of people there. Because, as it turns out, Rourke from last season was also at that same event, and I never met her.
Wow.
So I met a lot of great people there, but somehow I missed the ones that have so far ended up going on Survivor.
That's kind of funny. But at least you've met really great people besides Survivor players, so that's good.
Right. Now, in any case, the fact that she attended an RHAP event automatically tells me she's on the right track. What also tells me that is some of her statements to Josh about how Survivor is a game of lying and cheating and manipulation. And even beyond that, she talked about how people open up to her and she has no problem with taking advantage of that in the game, which obviously should serve her well on many levels, especially since it seems that most of her tribe mates seem to like her from the get-go. So maybe they will be opening up to her and she'll be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, she said something that I thought was really quite fascinating when she was talking about somebody else. Excuse me if you hear me rustling papers, but there's lots of paper that's part of this whole process. She said that I like to help people, and when someone doesn't need me, it makes me uncomfortable. So I thought that was really interesting. She is a counselor, and so I hope she's able to kind of put some of that aside and not necessarily be hurt personally if someone kind of gives her the cold shoulder or acts like they don't want to work with her. She's going to have to keep her emotions in check. She said a lot of really great things, but people see her as a friendly individual, and, you know, that I think they like her and she's someone that they want to work with. A lot of people actually said that they would like to work with her. I just hope she can keep that emotional component in check.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. All right. Next up is Morgan, either Rick or Ricky. She is a 29-year-old marine animal trainer. I'm not sure how much overlap there is between working with killer whales and playing with Survivor.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, maybe she can catch some fish and get her tribe mates to do tricks, you know, and she can reward them.
I love that she is an animal trainer, especially killer whales. I think that's fantastic. I love it. I love her a lot. I think she's great. Very enjoyable.
Well, that's good.
anyone cares.
Yeah, no. Well, I hope they care. They're listening. Like so many of the others this season, Morgan knows Survivor is a game and even, you know, gave us the standard reality TV villain line of "you're not here to make friends" before also saying, "I'm going to lie and steal and do whatever I need to do to win this game." So good for her. Mm-hmm. Even better for her is that most of her tribe mates say she seems nice, so maybe they won't suspect her when she's lying to them.
Right. I also like that she did keep her options open when she was talking about her first day playing out, that it's not about making alliances right off the bat because you don't really know people. She wants to spend time feeling people out and trying to get to know people before she commits to them, which before I played Survivor, I would have said, no, that's a bad idea. You want an alliance right away. After playing Survivor, I'm like, that's a great way to walk into it. Kind of figuring out who you're playing with first and then really making some determinations. I thought that was a good basis to have before you start committing yourself.
It's a good basis, but unless someone directly asks you.
Well, then you've got to learn to lie and do right. All of that wonderful things that she says she's going to do. So She'll be able to do both.
Yeah, anyone who's watching Celebrity Big Brother has seen what you should not do when someone asked Marissa to be in an alliance. It's, I don't know. I need to think about it. Let me consider
No.
It's, you know, as the rule says, to steal a line from Ghostbusters, when someone asks you if you want to be in an alliance, you say yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And then if that's not what you want to do, that's not what you want to do. But right. I'm hoping that she's able to do both, where she says that she can lie, cheat, and steal if she needs to, but then also she's going to make an attempt to get to know everybody and form some type of a relationship before she really decides who she wants to align with. It's an interesting strategy to walk in with.
Yeah, agreed. All right. Speaking of, you know, I had mentioned that she's a marine animal trainer and maybe she could use a fish to get people to do tricks. Well, the next guy up might as well be a fish. It is Sebastian Noel, a 22-year-old fishing guide. And, you know, I expect that he will be exceedingly good in the water. Maybe Morgan can train him. Who knows?
That's really funny.
She's used to working with marine mammals, you know. So he's been a fan of the show for a long time. But he also said some of his favorites are like Rupert, Ozzy, Joe, and Jay, which I'm sorry, that doesn't score big points with me in terms of strategic ability.
No, but I do love Rupert, I have to say.
I know, everybody loves
Rupert. Everybody loves Rupert.
Except those who hate him, but yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, at least 3 out of 4 of those are known for the opposite of strategic acumen.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So.
Yeah, and he's also... he's not that he's the same as Chris in this regard, but he does think very highly of himself, which can certainly work well for you in Survivor. But one of the things that he did say about Morgan was that I think she's attracted to me, but I don't know. I'm going to work with the people who are attracted to me physically, because you always want someone who likes you on your side, right? I feel like basing relationships on pure attraction in the game of Survivor, we've seen, hasn't always worked out so well in past seasons, except if you're Rob and Amber.
Yeah.
Everything else just blows up. So, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily the best course for him to take in determining who he's going to work with.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when I saw that that was his strategy, I was like, that's not really strategy.
Right. And,
you know, my impression of him was not at all helped by his tribe mate Bradley telling Josh he was sniffing a Sharpie at the airport. That's all I need to say.
I'm curious, why was he sniffing a Sharpie at the airport? How does that even happen?
I don't know where he got the Sharpie or why, but, you know, maybe he just needed a little boost. I don't know.
That's kind of funny. That is definitely funny. I do think, though, I don't know if we're necessarily, if you want to get into this, but there's been some changes as far as the game is concerned.
Oh, yeah.
And food. The one component that he definitely is going to have working for him is if there is a food shortage, which it appears that that's the goal somewhat this season, mm-hmm. and that fishing is going to be a needed component in order to survive, or finding food is going to be a needed component, that he could really utilize that to his benefit, clearly. But he's got to obviously show that he can do that. I mean, that's what he does. So I'm hoping that he's able to actually go out and show that he can fish.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I could easily see his tribe keeping him around much longer than he would normally, you know, be there due to strategy, just because of the food situation, mm-hmm. which is exactly what Jeff Probst is trying to do by making the food situation worse. I just hope that we don't see a good strategic player get voted out because of it.
Yeah.
I think it has the potential that we could lose someone who's a really good game player just because Jeff Probst wanted the fisherman to stick around.
Yeah, that's true. And that could definitely be kind of a bummer. And who knows, maybe someone else will pick up the spear and be able to do a great job fishing. And it won't necessarily be just one person on the tribe that can do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we come to our last member of the Naviti tribe, and that is Wendell Holland, a 33-year-old furniture company owner who used to be a lawyer and who happens to be the winner pick for both Jeff Probst and Matt Van Wagner.
Yeah, for like everybody.
Well, not me. He's not my winner pick.
He's not mine either.
Little spoiler for ahead. but I'm not really sure how he will do overall. So what do you think?
Well, I think that he brings a lot to the table because he's not someone who you would look at.
He can even bring the table and make it.
Good point. And I must say, I would love to see his work because my husband makes tables very similar to what he was describing. So I'd love to see what he does and then teach my husband how to sell it. But anyway, so here's the thing with Wendell is that I think when it comes to don't be too much of a threat, he's great because he's not going to tell anybody that he went to law school, that he is an attorney. He's a furniture and he actually owns a furniture company and builds furniture. So he's got a great story to talk about. And he's not someone who's necessarily physically threatening. He's not one of these larger guys, but he's in good shape. So I think when it comes to and he also understands the game and he understands what he needs to do to play the game. And he doesn't want to be too much of a threat. He actually says, I'm not the biggest and strongest looking person, though I can compete with the best of them. And he's really good at puzzles. So it's almost like he's going to be like a little, he'll have a lot of secrets that people don't know about him, which I think will help him get further in the game because he's not someone who's going to be seen as a huge threat off the bat, but he's someone who's going to play the game well. I think he's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, one thing that worries me is that he said he comes in with morals. And, you know, he quotes Sarah Lucina and says he'll play like a criminal. the fact that he brings up morals makes me worry that he's not going to be a very good criminal.
Yeah, and he wants to play like Jeremy Collins, and Jeremy's amazing. But to pull off a Jeremy Collins game, wow, you really have to have everything like locked and loaded, and because that's a difficult way to play.
Yeah. You know, I mean, his tribe mates do seem to have a pretty good opinion of him in the pregame, though Chris did peg him as a possible early boot. On the other hand, Kellen wants to work with him right away. So I think he'll make it for at least a little while, and maybe longer than a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if he becomes someone who's an asset when it comes to puzzles, that'll be another reason to keep him around until, obviously, you get to individual immunity. And then everybody's going to want him to go away. So, right, you know, we'll see.
All right. Well, before we get to our discussion of the Malolo tribe, we'd like to thank this week's sponsor, Casper. Now, right now, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/whylost. That's WHYLOST. And using the promo code whylost. Again, WHYLOST at checkout. And this is really a perfect sponsor for me because a good portion of my life has involved the mattress business, as odd as that may sound. My father first worked for a spring manufacturer and then went to work for a foam company and changed his tune to recommend that everyone get foam mattresses. I even worked for a foam company for a couple of summers, and I can tell you that the materials that are available now are much more advanced than what they had then.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Its breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. On top of that, Casper offers two other mattresses, the Wave and the Essential. The Wave features a patent-pending premium support system to mirror the natural shape of your body, and the Essential has a streamlined design at a price that won't keep you up at night. In between my father's two jobs that I already mentioned, he actually tried going out on his own selling mattresses directly to the public. And Casper has the same idea, and they can provide affordable prices because Casper cuts out the middleman and sells directly to you. But they go a step better than my father could do at the time. They have hassle-free returns if you're not completely satisfied, and you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Your mattress is delivered right to your door in a small, how do they do that size box with free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. Now, I used to help my dad with his deliveries, and I like the way Casper does it a heck of a lot better. So remember that right now you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/whylost, WHYLOST. And using the promo code WHYLOST at checkout. So that's casper.com/WHYLOST, promo code WHYLOST. Terms and conditions apply. Now, it is time to talk about the Malolo tribe.
Before we do, I think we should give a shout out to Wendell here because he did build his first bed. So, you know, perhaps Casper and Wendell should have a little conversation.
That's right. I don't know.
Just throwing that out there. Sorry, I'm throwing you off.
No, that's okay. Every bed needs a mattress.
That's right.
So, as we move on to the Malolo tribe, we will once again go in alphabetical order by first name. And we once again have our oldest player first in that order. And that is Brendan Shapiro, the 41-year-old PE teacher. Now, I have to tell you right off the bat, I've never been a fan of PE teachers that I've had. Hopefully Brendan is different.
Well, this is like his third job, right? He owned his own business and he went back to school just recently to become a teacher. Like, so maybe, you know, he's a different kind of teacher because it's his third career.
Yeah. You know, and I have to say he has already made great strides in getting on my good side because he told Josh that Survivor is a game just like any other game. And then he went on to make an analogy that is very similar to one I've made in the past. He said, when my son was 9 years old and started playing football, on any given play, his team's trying to trick the other team. They want to make you think they're going to pass when they're going to run or vice versa. It's all deception. And he's exactly right. This is something I've said for a long time. In baseball, which is a game that I'm more familiar with because, you know, I've coached and my kids have played and everything, the pitcher doesn't get up there and yell to the batter, "Hey, I'm throwing a fastball. Oh, right. Look out, this one's a slider. Probably not going to be in the strike zone." No, he tries to fool the batter. And that's the same thing with any sort of game like Survivor. You know, so I have high hopes for him to do well in terms of the first rule.
Oh, I do too. And he's already doing it well because the image that people have of him is not the way that he's going to play this game. There's a lot of loyalty, courage, integrity, or a lot of the words genuine, good guy. Like there just seem to be so many positive attributes being associated to him, the dad, and that he's going to be the most honest guy out here. And he's not planning on playing that way at all. I mean, he did say he was going to divorce himself from emotion. And obviously he used the football analogy where you're basically trying to trick everybody. And he's already doing it just at Ponderosa. So I think if he plays his cards right, he's going to be in a very good position because people will not expect him to be cutthroat and expect him to be anything other than a really doting, caring dad who happens to be jacked.
Yeah.
Now, it's ridiculous.
You know, the downside, of course, is similar to the mom downside, which is if everyone goes in thinking you're all about loyalty and honor and you backstab them, you lie to them and they find out, ooh, you can have that.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, you know, these players have all claimed that, you know, they're gamers. We'll see what happens when they get to the jury.
And that's very true, because a lot of them have said they're not going to be bitter and they're going to say that was a great play on me. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I mean, who's ever been interviewed in the pregame and said, well, what's going to happen if you lose? Oh, I'm going to hate them. I'm going to vote against them just because they were mean. You know?
Yeah, no one's going to do that. So well, it will be fascinating to see how it works out. But I think he has a really great shot of doing well at the beginning. Before the merge, pre-merge, I think he's going to do well. And if he manages to play the way that he has been perceived, I think he's going to do well. But then once they hit the merge, he's probably going to have some issues.
Yeah, definitely could. Next up is Donathan Hurley, who is a 26-year-old caretaker and who was almost universally seen as a nice guy by his fellow players in the pregame. So do you also think he's a nice guy?
I do. I think he's super cute and likable. And his voice is awesomely funny to me, like in a great way. Like I feel like I could listen to him tell stories and just enjoy it like this. I want him to tell me the story about his grandmother. Like I want to hear it from him and not on paper because I just love the way that he talks. And I think that he will not be someone who's perceived as being threatening. And I think he's someone who will be likable. And he recognizes these things about himself, really. He recognizes these things about himself. And so I think that it could definitely work to his benefit. If he's that nice guy and he's someone that people feel like they can just talk to and really connect with because he's likable. Good for him. And if he's able to make that work, I think he's got a good shot. But he obviously he might be a little too excited, though. that could be his downfall because this is his first time out of the country. He's a super fan. I'm hoping he can rein some of that excitement in and focus on the game. But they do seem to really enjoy him.
Yeah. You know, as far as other things that he has said, I feel like I'm starting to sound like a broken record. But once again, I'm happy to hear Donathan talking about how it's just a game. You know, he described to Josh how you do what you can during the first 38 days, and then you get to day 39 and you're honest and upfront and stand up for what you've done. And, you know, that is some pretty good advice. And it's in line with the way I discuss the jury phase in Appendix B, and he's already thinking about that. You do what you can to get there, and then you stand in front of the jury and you say, yeah, I did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing, too, that I thought was interesting is that I think it was Bradley that pointed this out, that looking at him with someone like him, you're not a 10. So there has to be a reason why you're here, something that makes you interesting and different. You're probably a fan of the game. So there will be that read. And Jacob picked up on that, too. Like, there has to be, you've got to love Survivor. If you are someone who's not a physical, you know, you're not a Sebastian. You're not someone who looks like you've been living on an island for a year already. And so that could potentially be an issue if people think that he is a super fan, as a lot of them seem to be. Very, you know, there is quite a few people that equate themselves that way. But that might be an issue. And Donathan might be a good shield for Jacob, as, you know, because they're clearly both fans. So that could work out for both of them as well.
Yeah, definitely. And so speaking of Jacob, Jacob Derwin is the next one up here. He's a 22-year-old music teacher and, I think probably more importantly, a Survivor blogger for another website. Mm-hmm. And you know, he was pegged by most of his tribe mates as both a nice guy and a super fan. So, you know, it sounds very similar. What read do you have on him?
I love the Fozzie Bear analogy. I think that's great. I really enjoy Jacob, and not just because he's fun to read as far as the blog is concerned. And also, he's great for Twitter pictures. But anyway, I think that the thing that's great about Jacob is that because he understands the game from a different perspective, he's not just a super fan. He's someone like you, David, who has studied this game and studied the people that play this game and then writes about them from an analytical angle and kind of delves into things a little bit differently than someone who just loves the show. And, oh, that was a great move. He picks it apart, I think, a little bit more in depth than just a regular super fan. So for him, I think that his read on people is going to be probably better because of all of that he brings to, you know, he brings all that past experience and all that past really kind of delving into why people did certain things when they played Survivor as part of his blog to the game itself. And I think that'll be great for him. But he also, I hope nobody figures out that he's a blogger, because that also could backfire. And if you have super fans out there, maybe Donathan actually has read some of his blogs. So who knows? I think it has full potential to be a great Cinderella story. And I hope that that's kind of the way that it plays out.
Yeah. And, you know, as a blogger who has followed the game, you know, what more is there to say? It comes as no surprise to me that he knows Survivor is a game and it's about lying and manipulation, and he should have no problem with rule number one all the way, for example.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also rule number three, here's the be flexible. You and I had mentioned that before. He did say that if he's in a corner and I see this as my best route toward getting where I need to be, then I'll do it. It is a game where he wants people to like them. But he's also completely willing to, if he has to be a liar or do something, you know, backstab, he's going to do that. So I think he recognizes that about the game, too, which is great.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Moving on. James Lim is a 24-year-old business analyst who is apparently so smart that Jeff Probst said he's more like a machine than a human. And, you know, apparently that can work on some CBS reality shows, but I don't know how well it would go on Survivor.
I'm hoping it goes well. But you never know. And right. he's falling into the people already think that he's kind of robotic, but they also think he's nice. So it'll be interesting to see how he presents himself when he actually has a chance to talk to people, if he can put that robotic component away and just be personable. Maybe he's smart enough to realize that's what he needs to do, because clearly he's a genius. I hope it works for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the biggest problem he will face is in terms of the sixth rule, because most of the others seem to worry about him as a potential threat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unless he dumbs himself down, that may only get worse once the game begins.
Yeah, that's true. That is definitely true. Oh, and someone said he has little man syndrome. That's terrible.
Oh,
that's definitely terrible. He walks with his chest out. I'm hoping it turns out okay for him.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on to Jenna Bowman, who is a 23-year-old advertising account executive and who admits that she probably has resting bitch face and can easily be perceived as unfriendly and unlikable. So, you know, she admitted to Josh that first impressions are going to be her biggest obstacle to overcome. And indeed, several of the other women on her tribe didn't have complimentary things to say about her in the pregame. She's a hammock hog, for one thing, which, you know, I gotta say, that is something she could have controlled if she was really trying to make better first impression.
Yeah, so, and that hammock is a big deal.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that's a good hammock.
So, you know, she's going to really need to turn up her social game a few notches right from the get-go.
Yeah, and it is very interesting that she talked about her resting bitch face, and then two people also referenced her resting bitch face. So she at least recognizes that about herself. And maybe the pregame is just, I'm hoping that once she gets into the game that she's able to become a little more personable, because she did say that she's actually a big softy. The perception of her is not that she's a big softy. Everyone says she's everything but. So it'll be interesting to see how she ends up connecting with people who are on her tribe that believe she has resting bitch face. So,
yeah, I mean, I think she'll, you know, once she gets into the game, I think she'll do fine in terms of the first rule because of the way she said she intends to play the game. She told Josh, you're going to have to lie and deceive people to get to the final place. And then she really got on my good side by saying, Troyzan just skating his way through, I don't think you belong there, really. You have to be willing to come in and play hard. Mm-hmm. So, you know, then she jumped to the fourth rule by further saying, you shouldn't have emotion involved. I will do anything and everything. So all of those are great, presuming you can get past the RBF.
Yes, absolutely. So she's, but there are people that also seem to really enjoy her. Stephanie Johnson was talking about how she loves her. She's one of the girls that she really wants to team up with. So it seems to be working for her in certain situations, or certain people that are looking at her pregame, and then other people who are getting a completely different vibe from her. Angela said she's going to be very aggressive and she's going to make big moves. And then other people were like, she seems a little ditzy. You know, I mean, like, I don't know how you go from one to the other. Like, are they in the same room together? I mean, are they looking at the same person? It seems like the read that people got on from her is kind of all over the place.
Yeah. And, you know, it is interesting because, yeah, they can, if one person sees one thing and then somewhere else someone sees a different thing, I guess you form all your opinions based on that. And, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, to Jenna's credit, she said that her perfect first day would be making initial connections with every single person on her tribe, mm-hmm. which is a great idea, especially for her, because she already has some bad connections that have formed there and she needs to overcome those.
Right. Absolutely.
So moving on, we have Laurel Johnson, who is a 29-year-old financial consultant. Now, you almost ended up playing with Laurel on Millennials versus Gen X, but they decided to wait and put her on this season of Millennials versus Millennials.
I did. Yeah. And I was in casting with her in LA. I remembered when this cast was released and I saw her picture, I thought, wait a second, she was in LA with me. And it turns out she was. So that's kind of crazy. She could have been the Michaela of my season.
Yeah. So, you know, what impressions do you have from casting back then? Anything?
I did not. Well, it's interesting. I should say this. When I first saw Michaela, I thought she just seemed like one of the sweetest people. Like, I remember being on the bus with her and we were driving out to, I think we were driving from the airport to the boat. And she was smiling and waving at everybody she saw through the window on the bus. And I thought, this person is genuinely like having a wonderful time and enjoying her experience. And she seemed very sweet. We got in the game and Michaela was like, I mean, everyone saw Michaela. I mean, she was not sweet anymore. She had her game face on. And so, but the person that I saw in casting when I was there with Laurel was the same. Very sweet, seemed like an athletic. She was running on the treadmill and seemed very athletic, but seemed like a very sweet individual as well. So I don't know if she has that same type of, you know, game face. I'm going to turn it on, because what I saw in California was just a very nice, sweet person who didn't seem like she was a competitor, even though she was a physical presence when she was working out.
Now, I'm confused. So casting auditions have treadmills?
I don't know how much I'm supposed to go into this, but okay. There might perhaps be some time when you are downtime when you are supposed to work out or go to the gym.
Ah, okay. I was just thinking they're timing you on the treadmill there. Okay.
Oh God, no.
See how long you're there. How long it takes you to run 5 miles.
Like, could you imagine?
Like an NFL terrible. Combine for Survivor contestants.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no. I don't want to give away too much. I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah, no, we don't want that. So anyway, Laurel immediately made me happy by telling Josh, anything goes on Survivor. I've seen people say they won't lie and they get nothing for doing that. There's no prize for having great morals. There's no prize for being honest. And then she continued, I'm here to do whatever it takes to win, because that's the only reason I'm here. Whether that's lying, stealing, deceiving, backstabbing, blindsiding, all the good stuff. So I say, go Laurel.
I say she's going to be in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Number six, I'm going with rule number six, too much of a threat. She is very aware of the fact that she is a triple. She even says, I'm a triple threat to win this game. And I don't know if she's going to be able to rein that in enough. And also, on top of that, she doesn't like bugs and rats and creepy crawlies, and she's not sure how she's going to be outside in the elements. So this could be a bad combination for her, I think.
Yeah, but neither did Tariq.
And that's very true. But I think that the difference between the two of them is there seemed to be a humbleness with Suri as opposed to Laurel. I don't necessarily get a humble read just from the way she talks about herself. There just doesn't seem to be a humbleness about her, but maybe that's what she will present. I don't know, but people are also describing her or comparing her to Michaela as well. So I think everyone is intrigued to see how she's going to end up playing.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to me like most of her tribe mates had a first impression that she was nice and athletic. And I think both of those will help her, at least in the early game. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
You don't want to get rid of one of your athletic women if your tribe loses.
Oh, and I agree. Like, I don't think she's in trouble first vote, second vote, anything like that. But I think that there might be some things working against her just as far as her threat level is concerned and how she might present that about herself. I don't know. I mean, look at what happened to Michaela. Michaela, if she is like Michaela, who was kick-ass and incredible, Michaela scared the crap out of everybody. And then she got voted out pre-merge because she scared the crap out of everybody.
But I think part of what Michaela did to scare the crap out of everybody was started talking game in a way that everybody was like, whoa, hold on, what's going on here?
Right.
I think Laurel knows this game really well and is strategic enough to, you know, not do something like that, not make a mistake like that.
I hope so. I do hope so, because I think she has a lot of potential. But I also... I'm hoping that because she has the knowledge of the game and she understands the inner workings of it, that she will be able to kind of step back and look at herself and determine, okay, I shouldn't step up and try to be in charge here or try to tell people what to do. I feel like that might be an issue for her, but maybe not. Maybe not.
Okay. All right. Next up is Libby, either Vincek or Vincek. A 24-year-old social media strategist whose words have the opposite effect on me as Laurel's did. And that's because Libby said, there are lines I won't cross. I feel like in order to win this game, you have to know where your lines are. And then she continued, I don't feel like being hurtful or swearing on my brother and sister or my family. Now, as you can imagine, that's not in line with the first and most important rule. And it sounds like she might potentially also violate the fourth rule by letting her emotions get in the way.
Mm-hmm. And she's also, she relates a lot of her game to her spirituality as well. So I think that's where that emotional tie-in might be an issue for her. Because if she is very much into her faith and she really, she feels like God kind of put her here, that might be a difficult thing for her to get past, especially if she's playing with a lot of people that say, yeah, there's no, I'm willing to do anything and everything there is to win the game. And if she's not doing that, it could definitely affect her negatively.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible that Libby won't have much of a chance to have a problem with the first rule, because some of her tribe mates have already been calling her Barbie. Although some do seem to like her, it just makes me think that if her tribe loses first, she may be someone easy to boot. Though I do suspect there will be other targets higher on the list.
I agree. And I think there might be a little trick up everyone's sleeve that could affect that as well. Yeah. The survivor sleeve.
All right, now we move on to Michael Yerger, who is the 18-year-old real estate agent. 18, that's crazy.
It's insane because he does not look 18.
Yeah, I mean, my younger son just turned 19. And, I know he acts like he's in his early 20s in his day-to-day life, but even he admits, he's still 18.
Yeah.
So, despite his young age, he does say he's there to play, to lie, cheat, and steal. And he added that that's the name of the game. That's why I love it. And that's why I'm here. The people who aren't going to play that way, I don't know why they're here. So, mm-hmm. Obviously, I agree 100% with that.
Yes. I do find it fascinating, though, that he was so unmemorable.
Yeah. I mean, a few of them had positive thoughts, but a lot of them just forgot that he was there.
Yes. And you know what? What's weird about that is they're sitting in a room with him for like 4 or 5 days. So they're being forced to see him. I was listening to his interview and had like 2 lines written down by the time it got done. And I felt like, and I just thought it was interesting. I'm like, wow, I don't even really, like nothing really jumped out to me about him while he was speaking that I was like, yeah, that's great. And I love that he said that. It was kind of, I don't know.
Now, on the good side, if people forget about you in the early goings, that's not the worst thing that can happen to you. So I think he may be safe in the beginning because of that.
And that's true. And we might have another JP.
Yeah. Oh, don't even say that.
That's my worry for him, though. If he's already unmemorable, maybe he'll get in there and change that. But I think it's such a strange thing to be 18, to pretend that you're older, to be able to pull it off because he doesn't look like he's 18. And then to look the way that he does and still be unmemorable. Like, it's this whole weird combination that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, hopefully he won't be the season's lump of clay. So.
We'll see.
Well, someone who I know is not going to be is next up, and that's Stephanie Gonzalez, who is a 26-year-old graphic salesperson. Now, I'm not entirely sure what a graphic salesperson is, but I do know that I like her sense of humor, as evidenced by what she told Josh in response to his question about her perfect first day. So in case anyone hasn't heard or read that, she basically said it would start with her leading her tribe in swimming to shore, building their shelter. Then she finds a fresh pizza and margarita, which she eats herself. And then Jeff Probst comes up and hands her the $1 million just to save everybody time.
Yes. And I also did appreciate that she ate the pizza to avoid her tribe mates from getting sick.
Yes. Yes.
She was doing a good deed.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. Josh says, what would be your perfect first day? And she really did describe the perfect first day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's definitely very spunky. And I do think that she's enjoyable to listen to. And she's someone that I think socially is going to be able to connect with people. So I think she's going to be a fun one to watch because she's engaging. She's certainly engaging.
Yeah, well, you say that, But I have to tell you.
But yes, she doesn't appear to be.
Right.
To the other people. Yes.
Because I didn't get a whole lot out of her, out of that, you know, other than her sense of humor. You know, most of the other players didn't get much out of her either. You know, just, I don't know. Maybe it'll be like I said for Michael, and it could be good if they forget about her when it comes time to figure out how to vote. But I don't know. I don't think they'll forget about Stephanie Gonzalez once the game starts. I think that personality will come out.
Oh, I think so, too. I think I actually one of the notes I made was that she was going to surprise people, because the read that they're getting from her at Ponderosa, I think, is going to be completely different once the game starts.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So finally.
And also, I'm just going to throw this in here, too. She's got to watch out. She and Chris are not in the same tribe, thank God, because he clearly wants to make out there. It's so randomly weird. I can't even. Anyway.
Maybe at the merge.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So finally, we have the other Stephanie Johnson, who is a 34-year-old yoga instructor who appears much younger than 34, but is also an old school Survivor fan who knows the new school game is here. As she told Josh, loyalty is out the window. We're all going to go in and make fake friendships and fake alliances. So, you know, that speaks well of her in terms of the first rule.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And her quote immediately following that makes me think she'll also do well for the fourth and fifth rules, because she said, you really do have to appeal to people's emotions and build genuine relationships, but they're still all fake at the end of the day. She later added, I'll tell these people that they're my friends. They're like my little sister. They're like the best friend I never had. That's not true.
You know, David, you've been a really good teacher, because I have the same exact things written down. So rule 5, rule 4, yeah. Like, and this, I have the same exact quotes. It's quite entertaining. So I'm enjoying my own little world here in my basement.
Well, good. I mean, now one problem I see is that her tribe mates had some interesting reactions to her in the pregame. While many thought she was friendly and bubbly, I feel like she might have some Katrina Radke downside.
I disagree entirely.
Okay, well, I mean, she's got the bright colors, the very cheery personality. It's just giving me some flashbacks. And, you know, I hope I'm wrong, because I like it when people from Illinois do well, but mm-hmm. I worry.
Well, here's what I noticed, because when I was going through with what various people said about various people, great quote, right? So she got, I think, the most check marks for people wanting to work with her. Jenna Bowman. Now, this isn't necessarily just people on her tribe. This is everybody who was commenting on her. So Jenna said, I definitely want her on my side. Kalyn, if I'm saying her name correctly, that I want to be with people who have a good time, and she looks like she's going to be a ball of energy. Morgan, I think we'll be friends. James Lim, not a bad person to have around, very bubbly. She's going to want to work with everyone. Sebastian didn't say that. Excuse me. That was the wrong check mark. He thinks she's going to be one of the first ones to go. I just feel like there was, who else? There was other people. Let's see. I'll be happy to work with her. That came from Jacob. Donathan, same thing. I'm right here with you. Like, I'm going to, you know, like, it sounded like there was quite a few people that were very interested in being around her, wanting to work with her. So it wasn't necessarily rubbing people the wrong way that she was a little eccentric, a little quirky. I didn't get that read, but who knows?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I worry, and I think she's at risk along with Jenna. You know, I think those are the two that have the most risk of being voted out first from Malolo.
Mm. I don't think so. I disagree.
Okay. All right. Well, good. So, all right. We have made it through all of the players. Yay, us. Now it is time to go over the slight tweaks that I made to the rules. Now, you can find all of the current rules at robhasapodcast.com/survivor rules. And I will be uploading the new version sometime soon, but I don't think they'll be up by the time this podcast airs. So the most of the rules, I mean, they've stayed the same. There's no wholesale change like there was, you know, last season, which is good because you gave me a shirt with the rules on it. And, you know, now I can never change the rules.
I know. So now it's locked in. Locked. That's it.
So I'll just quickly go through the tweaks that I have here. And, you know, in the very first rule, scheme and plot, I did mention that looking at the preview information about the contestants for this season, it seems like most of them know going in that they need to follow this rule. So hopefully we'll see how they do. And the other item is that even this season, with the new focus on being a provider, I still say scheming and plotting is more important. So we'll see if I'm right about that.
Mm.
Next up, in terms of a tweak, also still within the first rule, but near the end, I mentioned how we added last season the information about the check-in. You know, you need to do a lot of checking in. And we referenced Game Changers especially. Now, this cast had a chance to see Game Changers, so they should have learned something here. Because last season, you know, Patrick came into the game already knowing Allie, yet he failed to talk to her about how much he trusted her. And also, he relied too much on her keeping him safe without actually having the important conversations with her. So he did not check in, and that is something that players really need to be wary of.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping ahead to the fourth rule, so I did not make any changes to the second rule, which is don't scheme and plot too much, or the third rule, which is to be flexible. The fourth rule, this is the part that I added that you know, I referenced last season. So we talk about emotion, and what I added here is that it's not enough to just know the rules. You need to be able to execute them as well. And we saw an example of that from Desi last season, because she knew and understood the rules. We know that because she said to Josh in pregame press that this podcast was her favorite. But when she got into the game, she couldn't alter her emotional state to fully implement, you know, the lying, scheming, plotting, backstabbing, and leave those emotions behind. So sometimes it's easier said than done. You know, Jeff Probst told Josh about Survivor before last season. I guess what I'm saying is it would be helpful if you're a sociopath. Well, I've been saying essentially that same thing for years now.
That could be an appendix. Yeah. A sociopath.
Yeah. Oh, it just goes in with rule four.
Well, there you go.
So skipping ahead, rule five. You know, talks about the social game. Rule six talks about not being too much of a threat. We get on to rule seven, which, of course, deals with idols and advantages. And I added more in here from last season, which is that I think last season definitely showed that keeping your possession of an idol or an advantage a secret worked a lot better than sharing the information.
That is true.
Yeah, and we also learned, for gosh sakes, don't give advantages, idols, parts of idols, whatever, away as a sign of trust. Because for two seasons in a row, the person to whom something was given tried to turn it around. Cerie tried to use Sarah's advantage in Game Changers. And Dr. Mike, of course, famously threw Lauren's half-idol into the fire just when she needed it last season. So don't do that. And you know, also a little later in this rule, I talk about don't get voted out with an idol in your pocket, because, you know, then it'll end up on Ghost Island, apparently. But, you know, yes, you may feel stupid if you use your idol and it wasn't necessary, but nowhere near as stupid as if you leave and take it with you as a souvenir and then it shows back up on Ghost Island commercials.
That is true.
And also, you know, Ben showed us last season, you can use the idol and then just go find it again after it's been rehidden.
Yep. You absolutely can do that.
So I think the last tweak that I have is in Appendix A. And this is, you know, famously talking about the weak and the strong and the weak and the strong. And, you know, as I say, there's different ways that you can be perceived as being strong. So I added one to clarify, because sometimes strong can describe a person's social game or even just their ability to blend into the background. Now, it sounds odd to say you can be strong by blending into the background, but it really is true that, you know, strong people can sometimes just hang around and you don't want them to. So you can't let them blend in that way. So those are the tweaks that have been made to the rules for this season.
I like it.
Okay. Well, good.
Do I get a copy of the tweaked up version?
Well, I guess I could send it to you.
With them highlighted so I know what the tweaks are.
I actually have it all highlighted. Yes.
Perfect. That's perfect. Thank you.
Sure. I guess I should have gotten that to you ahead of time, but to be honest, I, you know, pretty much just finished it today. So
that's okay. Yeah. I knew I wasn't going to necessarily need it for this podcast, so I forgive you.
Okay.
All but you didn't sing to me, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So that leaves us with one item left. You know what that item is?
That you're going to sing me a song.
No. Prediction.
I know. I hate predictions. Do you have any idea what this has been doing to my head?
Well, see, I didn't let it do it to my head. I just waited until like the last minute. I looked over everything and I said, boom, there's it. So here's what I did.
Okay.
I looked through everything. I said, who does it look like to me? And I feel like it's either going to be Bradley or Brendan. So apparently I went with a BR theme.
Wow.
And that's not BR like Boston Rob. So, you know, I'm not sure which, and I feel like the way seasons have been trending, it will be Bradley, but I still didn't go with him. I'm going with Brendan.
I love that pick. I love it.
Well, good.
Because he was my other very close contender.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. See, I do really think that he's got a lot of potential. And I think that Brendan is, I think he's going to go far. I don't know if he's going to be able to pull it off in the end, because I think people like Jacob are going to realize that after the merge, people like Brendan are going to be problematic for people like Jacob, because they're going to end up winning multiple immunity challenges like we've seen in years past, where the strong individual ends up taking, kind of going on a run. So, but I do think that he's going to do well. But I kept going back to Jacob. Like, I couldn't get away from Jacob. And I said it already, like, it would be a great Cinderella story if he ends up being the one to pull it out. Because there is something very endearing about him. The people seem to really like him that are observing him from what we've read thus far. And I think he's got a really good understanding of the game from a different place. And that's because he spent more time studying it differently, which I've already referenced. And so I think it could very well be Jacob.
Yeah. And, you know, there were times in the past when I would have picked Jacob. But I have been burned so many times by picking that sort of super fan that it's just, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And I like Jacob, you know, and I think he's going to be fun, but I just couldn't pick him.
Yeah, no. And it was a struggle for me, because I thought, you know what, it's the, because he is that super fan. But if you look at someone like Adam was a super fan, and it worked to his benefit because he understood how to utilize the other people to further his own game without them necessarily realizing that he was using them in that fashion, which ended up being genius. So I think that that's something that Jacob is probably going to be able to do and do very well, because this is a group of people that I think you have a lot of very strong personalities, which makes sense. It's Survivor, and they obviously want people who are going to bring great qualities to the screen and have good stories and think highly of themselves. And I think that Jacob is one of those people that doesn't necessarily stand out in that fashion. And I think he's going to be what you've already referenced, that person that could kind of be in the background making things happen without people necessarily seeing him as a threat to win until it's finally going to get down there.
Yeah. I mean, I think what that Jacob stands out a little bit more as being an obvious super fan, whereas I don't think that's the case with Brenda. And I think it's better if you can hide it a little bit, or, you know, not be as obvious. And that's right. So that's why I went with Brendan.
Oh, and I think Brendan, I like him a lot. And I think he's got a great, great chance of getting there. But I just think that his physical appearance and his ability to do well in challenges is what is probably going to cause it to come to an end.
Okay. All right. So now we need one more thing. We need a hashtag. And I did not think of any.
Oh, I thought we were picking first one out, too. Are we not doing that?
Oh, are we?
Well we don't have to. Trust me, we don't have to.
The listeners, the level of planning that goes into these. No, I mean, I had already mentioned a couple of, you know, my thoughts when we got to each tribe. So I didn't want to put a bet down on a specific person.
No, and you want to know something that really I think is going to throw it off is the twist. I don't know if we should talk about the twist because some people might not know what the twist is. And so obviously it's Ghost Island, so there's going to be all kinds of crazy things going on. But I think that that definitely could affect the choice.
No, go for it.
Okay. Well, because the whole concept is that the losing tribe from the immunity challenge, or actually I should start with this, is whoever wins immunity, whichever tribe wins immunity, they get to pick someone from the losing tribe to go to Ghost Island. And that person does not participate in tribal council. And so they're not going home. They will be coming back into the game after a night alone at Ghost Island. So they are not at tribal council. They don't take part in the vote. So then the tribe is left to vote out whoever hasn't been sent to Ghost Island. And it will be interesting to see the choice of who gets sent to Ghost Island, because that person could very well have been the weakest performer at the challenge, and they could get sent to Ghost Island and they get saved. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I know that I mentioned who I thought the two from Malolo, you know, likely people would be. Thinking back, I can't remember if I mentioned the two I thought for Naviti. So just in case, I think it wouldn't surprise me if the first vote comes down to a choice of Chris or Chelsea.
Interesting. I'm going Angela and Chelsea.
Okay. Well, that's not good news for Chelsea.
No, it's not good. But here's what I think is going to happen, though. I think Malolo would save her and send her to Ghost Island, and she'd be kept, and then they'd have to pick with who. Because if she's right, the one that seems to kind of be that standout evil, I don't really, you know, I mean, all of these things that people said about her, and then they decide, hey, let's keep her, then she's safe.
Yeah,
so it'll be very intriguing. That's for sure.
Yes. All right. So now we get to the hashtag. Do you have any ideas?
No. I do not have any ideas.
Since we've been talking today about who's going to break the rules, who's going to follow the rules, how about a hashtag follow the rules?
I think that's easy enough.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because we don't want to be rule breakers. We want to be followers. So
people need to follow the rules. That is a good point.
So with all that said, everyone listening should make sure, you know, this Survivor preseason already has tons of content. There's more to come. And if they want to get all of it, they need to subscribe to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts through robhasapodcast.com/survivor. Or, of course, on your iPod, your iPhone, your whatever it is, Stitcher, We're also on the Reality TV Rehapups feed, so you know, you can download us through that. You can subscribe through that. You're going to get the whole gamut once the show starts, the know-it-alls, the wiggle room, the RHAP B&B, much more.
Get ready. So, there's so much.
Yeah. Definitely everyone should prepare for the season by following Jessica on Twitter at JessicaLewis89. And I, of course, am at David Bloomberg.
And I've already expressed this in previous podcasts. You have to follow us both in order to really appreciate the banter.
Yes, because I do notice you have a couple more followers than me. So those folks just need a couple. Yeah, need to get the word out to them.
That's right.
Thanks to Will from America for the updated theme song.
Thank you.
Thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who does all the editing on these podcasts. And, you know, thank you, Jessica, for allowing yourself to be renewed.
I appreciate being asked back. So this was wonderful. It was a quite an incredible season, and having an opportunity to do this before and now getting a chance to do it again, I really appreciate it so much. So thank you to the listeners, and thank you for David being such a great mentor and letting me join him on this wonderful podcast. So thanks.
All right. So everybody, you know, once you're done listening to this, as you know, Survivor starts on Wednesday, and we will be back just a few days after that to talk about why the first one out lost. Until then, see ya.
If you've lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.